call the Dirt Doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Talking about gardening, landscaping, whatever you would like to chat about, pest control. Telephone number, like Logan said, 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Dr. O'Hara's products, probiotics and Chia Omega, BioSI products, Crazy Water, Arbico Organics, EcoSafe Pest Control, Green Industries, Garrett Juice Pro, More Tree, Lambert's, and the Medina Corporation, and a lot of other wonderful companies. The Kyolic Garlic is one of the latest to join our family of supporters, and we really appreciate everybody helping us out and keeping us on the air. I'm going to go to Mike because he's been holding quite a while in Louisville first, and then we'll get back to a few things. Hi, Mike.
Hey. Though we lost you there for a while, I've been kind of going in and out on the radio.
Oh, has it really? How's it sound now?
It sounds good now.
Okay, good.
But I got a couple 45-gallon trees I'm going to put in. I got a Chinese pistachio and a cedar elm.
Okay.
Curious if I should need to bare root them or just go down to the root ball and just kind of tear up the sides before I put them in.
Tell me a little bit more about them. Are they still in the containers?
Yeah, I've not looked at the root.
You haven't taken them out and looked at them yet? Okay. Great that you're being careful about this because both of them have a potential problem, and Chinese pistachio, I can almost guarantee you, will be too deep in the soil, and it will have circling roots in that container. So what I would recommend, 45-gallon container is pretty big. It would be ideal if you could take it out of the container and put it in a vessel large enough to hold water and soak it. Short of that, just take it out of the container and set it on the ground and use a hose, starting off pretty gently, and wash away the soil off of the top of the root ball. Chinese pistachio is notorious for being planted too deeply in the soil, and I don't know why. It seems to be worse than any other tree, but you'll get down to, before you even get to the flare, the trunk flare, you'll probably see either a bird's nest-looking roots trying to grow up to oxygen or some pretty good-sized roots circling round and round. So either soak it and then start trying to unwind some of those things, or use a hose and wash some of the soil off of the surface. I wouldn't take too much off the side at first. Work on the top. And if you can soak it, that's a great advantage because you can completely hydrate the roots and get them bent out so they're not wrapped around the trunk. And then you plant it really, really nice and high. It could be that they're circled so badly that you actually have to do some pruning and cut some of them away. You usually do with Chinese pistachio. I don't know why it's the worst, but it is. Lace bark elm tend to be in second place. Cedar elm might be that way. I can almost guarantee you that there'll be some excess soil on the top of the ball, and the root flare, the trunk flare will be covered. So uncover it too. Do the same procedure to both of them if you can.
Okay, just do that,
and then set them in the hole. But dig the hole shallow, widespread, rough-sided hole, and make sure that flare is sitting, inches above the ground grade in case you get a little bit of settling, which you probably will. Backfill with the soil that comes out of the hole and nothing else. As a last treatment of watering it in, I'd add a little Garrett Juice and one of the microbe products if you don't use Garrett Juice Pro, which already has it in the mix. So you inoculate the root system. You can actually put it in the vessel that you soak them in if you go that route. And let it soak into the root ball. And that way the roots, as they start to grow, will already be inoculated with mycorrhizal fungus and bacteria. And try not to stake them unless you absolutely have to. And for people who know what I'm talking about, there are certain people that recommend wrapping the trunks of pistachios and red oaks, and I don't ever recommend that either.
They told me to, one of the people I bought it from, and they said, you know, in the summertime, and just check it periodically to make sure no insects or anything like that got in there.
Well, the only thing that might happen is if the plant was really crowded in the nursery and shaded, and then you put it out and the trunk part that was facing north is now all of a sudden facing south or west, and the late afternoon sun hitting the trunk can cause some sunburn, and that can lead sometimes to some insect problems. It's rare if the tree's healthy, but there's a real easy way to prevent that. You can paint the trunk with a whitewash like Tom Sawyer used. Get a white paint, or you can get a paint that matches the color of the trunk. You know, for Chinese pistachio, it'd be kind of a light tan. For cedar elm, it'd be a darker color, but you could use the same one for both. Get a latex paint, a nice, clean latex paint, like one that Gecko Hardware would sell, or somebody that is into selling some good green, high-quality paint. Put water in it and thin it down. Paint the trunk, and the trunk, as it grows, will actually just, you know, grow the paint, the whitewash off, and readapt itself to the sunlight. Much better way, if you really do think that sunburn is going to be an issue, than wrapping gauze or paper around the trunk. It causes more problems than it solves.
Well, if I had to, I'd just get some of that foam stuff that you put around pipes and stuff, you know, something that's real loose fitting.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do anything, any kind of wrapping at all. When you do that, you create an artificial environment inside that wrapping, and you actually stimulate conditions that would attract insects and diseases. You don't prevent them. Hmm. You know, people that think that an insect can't figure out how to get inside of a wrapping, you know, are kind of naive. And I know that people recommend it all the time, and so people think that's a good thing to do. But if it's far, far better to put a paint whitewash on the trunk if you think that that's an issue. If growers and retail nurseries would put a spot on the trunk that identifies north or south or whatever the direction, as long as it's easy to communicate and remember, and then you set the tree in the yard the way it was growing at the growing operation and then at the nursery, and then when you plant it, this would never even be an issue.
Could you tell by looking at the bark that like one side would be thicker than the
other? It might. The part that was on the north might be a little thinner, but just if you've got to worry about this, I normally don't do it, but if you've got to worry about it, use the whitewash. The details are on our website on dirtdoctor.com. And by the way, there is USDA ARS research, university research, backing up what I just told you about whitewashing trunks. It was originally done with just white paint, and it was originally done as a insect preventative. They were trying to keep root aphids away from fruit trees. When they started doing it, and they saw that when they did it, they actually noticed that those plants developed trunk caliper a little faster and had a general overall healthier condition than the people that did not do it. So I probably ought to recommend it more than I do, but it doesn't come up unless somebody recommends wrapping something around the trunk, which I highly, highly recommend not doing.
Whitewash, that's more so, that's just water and paint.
Water and the paint mixed 50-50.
Yep. Yeah, they gave me some Super Thrive to use on it, too. I'm not sure I'm going to dispose of that.
Super Thrive is one of the things that Bob Webster and I actually have a little disagreement on, too. He loves it. He thinks it's a great root stimulator and all that. It does have a chemical in it called NAA, which is a pesticide. It's an extremely small amount of it. So I don't have a big problem with you using it. Those people have never been supportive of what we've done or anything, and are even communicative. So we don't know them well and have never gotten involved with them. I find that the Garrett juice mixture, especially if you add BioSI microbes to it or use the Garrett Juice Pro that has the microbes, functions the same way or probably a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm going to go Garrett Juice Plus to soak it once I got it in there.
Well, the Garrett Juice Pro is the one that has the microbes. Garrett Juice Plus is a great product, too. It has fish, but it doesn't have the microbes intentionally added. But you can add the BioSI product to it and come up with the same thing.
Okay, I'll take a super drive and put it on a fire ant pile.
Whatever you want to do. I wouldn't buy any of it, but it's okay to use it if you've got it.
Yeah. They just gave me a little tube of it. I'm not going to use it for anything.
So. Mike, thanks for calling. Go run.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
You already know how great all-natural Crazy Water is to drink, but now there's a Crazy Water bathhouse which is located in historic mineral wells, and it's the only place you can take a natural mineral bath in Texas. Enjoy day treatments or stay for the weekend in our luxurious guest rooms. Enjoy mineral baths, soaking tubs, treatments, and massages. Relax, unwind, and rejuvenate. Call 940-325-8870 to set an appointment. That's 940-325-8870. And don't forget, you can pick up bottled Crazy Water in HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Crazy Water, so good it's crazy.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Y'all have hurt Matt's feelings in there. He thinks that you don't want to talk to him this morning. Give him a call. His number is, and it's the same as mine, 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. The other point that I hadn't gotten to yet about Bob and my very minor argument, really wasn't an argument. We love to debate stuff that we don't have a total 100% agreement on, because it's how you learn is to talk about things, especially when there's a disagreement about it, and talk about the pros and cons. The other one that came up had to do with basal sprouts. Some people call them root sprouts, but they're basically coming off of the base of plants. Crepe myrtles have them. A lot of different plants have these sprouts that come up from the ground right at the base of the plant. And he had recommended to somebody, I forgot what the plant was, it was a live oak or something, doesn't matter. He had recommended putting weed-blocking fabric down and then mulching over that. And I told him, I asked him, you know, why did he think that that really worked and that I didn't recommend it. And so we got into a conversation about that, and he asked me what I recommend. And I said, well, I don't recommend what you said, the weed-blocking fabric, because I don't think it works. I think that the tips of those sprouts can poke through and come on through, and it might slow things down a little bit, but doesn't work all that well on very many weeds, quite frankly. I've seen enormous amounts of money wasted. For example, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if you saw the landscaping that went on Central Expressway up in Richardson, and this is common around the country, they did very large areas of ground cover, and in the bed preparation, right after they did the bed preparation, they put down this weed-blocking type fabric, you know, and then planted the plants through this fabric. And the stuff is supposed to keep the weeds from growing. Well, those areas turned into solid common Bermuda grass and had to be completely torn out and redone. So, and I've seen different brands of fabric used around bald cypress trees that were planted along the same landscaping. Well, today, they're all torn up and popped out of the ground and half there and half not there. The trees have done a lot better since the fabric has been destroyed and removed for the most part. Why it was put in, I have no idea. I don't know if they were actually trying to stop bald cypress knees from growing or the weeds that might grow in the shade of these trees, but there's never a situation where those fabric things work well, with one exception, and we talked about this, and that's in a utility area, maybe the side of the house, back of the house, where you store things, firewood, equipment, that sort of thing, that you're not paving solid concrete, you're putting in gravel. I think putting it down just to help make that a pretty sterile, non-plant growing area, it probably helps somewhat. I probably wouldn't even do it there. I'd probably just put a layer of caliche on top of the soil and then the gravel on top of that, decomposed granite or some kind of crushed limestone or something like that. My biggest problem with the idea of using a fabric, a plastic material of any kind, is that where it goes is the most important part of the soil. The layer, very thin layer, that is the surface of the soil just under the mulch is where the perfect temperature should be, the perfect biological activity should be, the perfect pH will be. Naturally, it'll come that way because of the biological activity and all the things that you're doing. In other words, the interaction of earthworms and other beneficial insects and microbes is all right there at the surface of the soil, right under the mulch. Or that's where it should be if you're doing an organic program. If you stick a piece of plastic there, you just mess up that whole thing. So whether you're putting in lava gravel or some other kind of gravel, decomposed granite, or whatever, mulch, don't use the plastic. And then, of course, he said, all right, smart guy, what do you recommend instead? And I told him, I don't think that there's a perfect solution. I don't think there's a 100% solution to those basal sprouts on trees and some shrubs. But we have found that if we dramatically expose the trunk flare, maybe more so than you normally would, like I did my big ginkgo and my big live oak in my backyard that you've seen pictures of, that we've had in the newsletters and also on Facebook. If you haven't, you can go there and see it. When you do that, that on a crepe myrtle even, that comes closest to completely eliminating basal sprouts than anything you can do. Perfect? 100%? Nope. We're seeing it on a crepe myrtle right now that we have that was stressed incredibly badly, and then I decided to bring it back to life almost and bare rooted it and planted it, and it's still having some of that. We continue to take more and more off of the base, and the sprouting gets to be less and less. But you'll see the sprouts as a genetic thing in some cases where the plant's not even unhealthy, and you'll see it in other cases where the plant is in real stress and trying to send up more growth to produce more foliage to help itself. And so putting in compost, improving the soil in those areas, the rock powders, the sugars, in other words, the basic program that we recommend and talk about all the time, will definitely lower those things. We had a Yaupon holly, for example, in our backyard when we bought the house, had pretty severe suckering coming up from the roots all over the place. Well, after using a lot of compost and a lot of organic fertilizers, dry molasses, garret juice, and all those things, there's just a tiny amount of it that happens now from time to time that you can pull out by hand because it's very small. So it does help, but it won't always 100% solve the problem. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. We'll go to the phones just as soon as I come back. Don't go away.
This is SRN News in Washington. Police have identified the gunman in yesterday's Maryland Mall shooting as a 19-year-old from College Park. The Howard County Police Chief says Darian Marcus Aguilar killed two people at a store in the mall in Columbia before killing himself. The search for victims of last week's fire at a retirement home in Quebec is on hold because of snow, squalls, and frigid temperatures. 10 people are confirmed dead. There are 22 people missing. Syrians on opposite side of their country's civil war have not been able to find common ground so far at peace talks in Geneva. A morning meeting focused on the release of prisoners and an aid convoy to a besieged Syrian city. They failed to produce any agreement. And Ukraine's opposition forces have called off a massive rally in Kiev today because of the funeral of a protester killed in clashes with police last week. The memorial service is taking place in the square in the center of the capital. This is SRN News.
You're standing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Could this be the very spot Jesus stood the night he was betrayed? As you say a prayer in that sacred garden, the same ancient olive trees are still growing here. Suddenly, you don't feel that it was so long ago that Jesus walked among us, teaching us. Amen. Never in your life have you ever felt so close to him. Never have you been able to truly envision the trials he endured to redeem us. What does it feel like to be baptized in the waters of the Jordan River? To enter the garden tomb where he rose in all his glory? Find out for yourself. Come to Israel and feel the wonder of the Holy Land. Ask your pastor or visit GoIsrael.com to learn more about making the journey that will transform your faith in God and his word. Experience Israel. You'll never be the same.
With Esrid Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. 18th-ranked Duke beat Florida State 78-56 Saturday. Blue Devils coach Mike Krzyzewski joined Jim Boeheim of Syracuse as the only men's coaches to have 900 victories at one school. Also yesterday, second-ranked Syracuse is 19-0 after a 64-52 win over Miami. Number 21 Michigan beat number 3 Michigan State 80-75. Wolverines coach John Beilein says winning on the Spartans' home court was special.
It's one of the classiest, best programs in the country. They do things the right way. They got great players. And for our guys to come in here and get the W means a lot.
Fourth-ranked Villanova went to overtime to beat Marquette 94-85. It was fifth-ranked Wichita State staying unbeaten, 78-61 over Drake. Sixth-ranked Florida beat Tennessee 67-41. Number 7, San Diego State, had to go to overtime to hold off Utah State 66-62. 8th-ranked Kansas beat TCU 91-69. It was 9th-ranked Wisconsin 72, Purdue 58. And number 10, Iowa 76, Northwestern 50. This is SRN Sports. In the NBA, Western Conference leader Oklahoma City beat Philadelphia 103-91. Portland State a game and a half behind the Thunder with a 115-104 win over Minnesota. Eastern Conference leader Indiana was tripped up at Denver 109-96. Other winners, Chicago, the Clippers, Memphis, Atlanta, and Utah. Although the temperature was 63 degrees with significant humidity, the first ever NHL game at Dodger Stadium went off without a hitch as league points leader Anaheim blanked Los Angeles 3-0. Ducks defenseman Ben Lovejoy.
That was the coolest thing I've ever done playing hockey.
Tiger Woods has failed to make the cut in his season-opening tournament. The Farmers Insurance Open, he shot a third-round 79 at Torrey Pines. Gary Woodland is the leader after carting 5 birdies and a 2-under-70. Woodland is minus 8 after 3 rounds, one shot ahead of second-round leader Jordan Spieth. Stanislaw Wawrinka, playing for his first Grand Slam singles title, has upset top seed Rafael Nadal to win the Australian Open. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All right, Howard, back with you, 866-444-3478. Harry in Dallas next up. Hello, Harry.
Howdy, sir. I've got a few questions. We've got a community garden, and a lot of people have donated some rose food, organic stuff, the bone meal. And we have one lady that works at one of those coffee places, and so she wants to donate, bring in the coffee all the time. Should I put like coffee and the bone meal and spread all that on the garden? It's like I said, it's a community garden. It's only about 200 square feet.
200 square feet, yeah, is not too big. Both of those are acceptable organic products. I do not use bone meal very often, Harry, but the reason is that there's a better way to go than that. If you're going to just go buy something, soft rock phosphate or any kind of rock phosphate is a little bit better way to go and get the same nutrient mix more or less than you get with bone meal. But I don't have a problem with it. It's a functions kind of like a rock material, giving you some calcium and phosphorus and various other elements. There are some people out there that don't want to use animal products like that because they're worried about mad cow disease and stuff like that. And I've never worried about that side of it. I just have always thought that the soft rock phosphate is a little more available to the plant, so it helps you quicker and is a better way to go. It is a little harder to find, is the only negative. But since somebody has given you the stuff, I think that it's fine, and pretty hard to overdo it. For example, you could put a seed in solid bone meal and they germinate just fine. So using a bunch of it is great. Coffee, a terrific organic fertilizer. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Okay, that was my main concern. Because can I use too much?
Not really. I guess you could always do too much. You can do too much anything. You know, too much water is called drowning. So, you know, anything can be overused, I guess. But I'll tell you this. I did an experiment in our greenhouse a few years ago, where I put into pots nothing but coffee grounds because I had a big old bag of it, and there was real pretty green and blue and white stuff growing in there, which we learned was, you know, beneficial fungus for the most part, which you want to have. So I filled containers completely full and planted transplants and various things. I even grew some seed in 100% coffee, and they grew okay. They would grow better if the coffee is mixed with the soil and with, you know, other things like compost and rock materials and sugars and all that. But it's pretty tough to overuse it.
Okay, that's why, because we're getting ready to till up the one section, and we're going to use a whole lot of compost, coffee, and some of the Aunt Jemima, if you don't mind my saying the name.
No, that's so fine.
We're going to put that out there. And we just thought we'd till that all in with the soil, and we thought that'd help for the compost.
No, it'd be great. I'd try to expand the size there more than 200 square feet when you can, but what you're talking about doing there is fun. Drench everything with either your own homemade version of Garrett juice or one of the commercial products, the only thing I'd add to the mix, and one of the microbe packages.
We'd love your Garrett juice, and I was wondering, is there any particular for the maple syrup that would be best, you know, a syrup type in there?
Any kind of sugar would be fine. Uh-huh. You can use anything from white sugar through the syrups like you mentioned to molasses of all kinds. Cornmeal functions as a sugar because it converts to sugar very efficiently. That's why we don't recommend eating too much of it. But, you want that sugar on the front end just to speed up everything. You don't use it a whole bunch of sugar from now on. You just do it kind of on the front end to help spur things along and get that production good the very first growing season. And it's time to plant a whole bunch of things right now. Things like asparagus and Irish potatoes and onions and just a whole bunch of things and start growing.
Yes, sir, I have 300 onions out right now.
Okay, great.
Pretty close. I have 85 red, 85 yellow, and 105 white.
All right, way to go. I haven't done it yet. I'm running behind.
What do you call the darn white ones when they're a little small and they're like shoots?
What do you call them?
Just the small green.
Well, it's just onion slips, just onion transplants.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm trying to teach all the young people here in our apartment complex how to eat them.
Okay, great. Good luck.
Have a good one, sir.
Keep me posted. And open line at 866-444-3478. Here is Danny in Bosque County. Hey, Danny.
Morning, Howard. You were talking a little earlier with the guy with the putting out the pressurized stuff. Had me come to a point. We're in Bosque County. We're in the country and have a water well. I have a question about fertilizer injectors. I've tried the little brass one with the little tube that goes down in. Apparently, we do not have enough water pressure to make that work.
To have pressure. That's right on that one.
I tried one last year that was called an Easy Flow, which I thought was a step up, but it's strong at the beginning, weak at the end. So do you know because one thing I wanted to do, I was hoping to do, was kind of like do a weak Garrett juice mixture, but more importantly, maybe just some vinegar in a real weak solution since our water is so alkaline just all the time. And do you know a good injector to recommend that doesn't cost $500 or $300?
Yeah, that's going to be the key. Anything that'll move the material some distance, that's what you're running into. And I've experimented with some of those same tools at home, and if you try to take it over any distance at all, it just doesn't work. It doesn't have enough pressure. So I don't know what to tell you. I think I would go to one of the greenhouse companies, like Texas Greenhouse over in Fort Worth, or one of the mail order greenhouse companies, and they got all kinds of different pieces of equipment and can help you with something that would go the distance. You can tell them, you know, how far you're trying to go and what you're trying to do, and they can come up with a recommendation for you there. I'm not very good on mechanical stuff myself, But they can help you with all that. And if worse comes to worse, you can just put the material out by itself, you know, with a sprayer or with a big watering can if they don't have anything that fits your situation and your budget.
And then just water it in more.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You can do it with real low tech, or the high tech stuff is great, but the ones that probably are the most efficient that you need and everything, you know, are a little bit pricey. So if that doesn't work, just go another route.
Go low tech with it.
Yeah.
I have a garlic question, Howard.
Sure.
I have a garlic bed. Nothing has happened with it for a couple of 3 years. It's up now, you know, green bit on the ends from the cold weather. Do I need to just wait till fall to break it up, or could I break it up now and plant it and just don't do anything with it? What to do?
Well, you have a garlic growing now?
Yep. I mean, it's up and green and healthy, and I mean, it's kind
no,
of
No, just keep it mulched, and during the dry times, and unfortunately we're having too many of those, just put some water on it. But mine, I still have a few. I'm going to do a really interesting experiment this year. I still have some of the little golden corms, and I have some rounds, and I have some cloves of garlic that I haven't even planted yet. I have some already coming up and growing all over the place. Some of it is just from stuff that was left, you know, scattered around. And so I'm going to have a wide range of garlic growing from different starting devices.
Point. Yeah.
And different times, you know, ranging from October, the right time to do it, the best time to do it, to what a lot of people would say is way too late in the season. Which I've done a little bit in the past. I've done a December planting of garlic in the past and gotten some real good production. So that's another thing you could do, is plant some additional ones in amongst those that are growing if they're not nice and thick. Just add some more in there now. I think you'll be surprised how well they'll do planting them right now.
So I could harvest some of those. But, I mean, you think basically the best thing to do is just leave them alone
for
October?
Oh, yeah. Let them keep growing. Some organic drenching, Garrett juice, some mulch, then layer of mulch if it's bare soil, which you shouldn't have, and then a little shredded native tree trimmings on top of that. Moisture, that's all you need to do other than wait.
And just, but you do think I shouldn't do anything now, just wait until proper time, and if I want to divide them because it's too thick in there, and so maybe harvest a few and then just leave the rest until the fall?
Well, if it's too thick, you could start pulling some of the little green garlic shoots out now and eating them. A young garlic sprout that's just starting to grow has the same medicinal and dietary advantages of a mature bulb of garlic in a lot of ways.
Well, now these are older and thicker. These are look like, you know, they're old and tired. I mean, from they've been through the cold weather. I mean, and so I don't need to cut those or anything.
Oh, no,
right?
No. Don't take any green foliage off at all. If you want to tidy it up, you can cut off some of the brown tips and all that. And if they're too crowded, go ahead and harvest some, chop them up, and use them for cooking and eating now.
Okay.
You
I'll
don't
do
have
that.
To wait to eat garlic until it's completely mature. You can eat it, eat the foliage and the shoots and the what's underground, too, at any time you want to pull it up. It's just going to prevent it from continuing to grow and get bigger and bigger. But if you're too crowded, I'd go ahead and thin it out and start using some of it.
Once it flowers, is it best to plant them? Of course, they're good to eat, but the flowers, do you plant those? Do you let them dry out, and will those turn into garlic or not?
Well, if it's like mine, and some people will argue, and I think they're right, that those are actually elephant garlic, which is more of a leek than a regular garlic. Some of those flower heads will form little black seed, not all of them. And so you can let them go all the way to seed and shake out the little black seed and start garlic from the seed. If they form a flower and there's no little black seed in each one of those little flowers, you can't grow anything from the flower. The other way to manage the flower is to cut it off when it first starts to emerge, and that way all the energy goes into making the cloves of the bulb in the ground.
Underground.
Yeah,
okay,
the flower, allowing it to mature will take some. I do it a lot because I think they're so pretty. I like to cut them and
beautiful.
Use them. Yep. Yeah,
yeah, they're beautiful and great to eat. And it's funny too. I think about Russian architecture that I never one. And one day somebody pointed out to me all those domes in Russian architecture is basically a garlic bulb.
Yeah, and garlic flowers, by the way, are edible. Like if everybody's wondering, scratching their head about that, yes, they are edible.
Thank you, Howard. I appreciate you and your show very
Dang.
Much.
Appreciate the call. See you, man. Okay, we got open lines. Jump in here. Let's chat about whatever you would like to chat about. 866-444-3478. A couple more questions that came up recently that I wanted to address. One was a question about persimmons, and people were asking about what are the non-astringent, in other words, which are the ones that won't pucker your mouth if you pick them and eat them too early. I got a little information for you on that, and some of the best ones, easiest ones to grow are non-astringent. So we'll talk about that right after this break. 866-444-3478. Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com. Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer on beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops, and it also loosens the soil, reduces fertilization needs, and helps reduce irrigation needs. For growers, BioSI has recently introduced Stubble Digester, which will significantly reduce crop residue and help prepare your field for next season's growth. Contact BioSI today at 866-393-4786 or go on the web at biositechnology.com. That's biositechnology.com. There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro. Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Ask for it in our local garden center, farm and feed, or hardware store. For more information, call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. That's 877-655-2121 or GarrettJuicePro.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Hi, Howard, back with you. And just real quickly, the varieties of persimmons that are non-astringent, in other words, they'll ripen after you pick them, and you can pretty much eat them like an apple a lot earlier than some of the others that pucker you up really badly. Probably my favorite two are Fuyu and Izu. It's I-Z-U. There are quite a few others that are non-astringent that are available. If you do a web search, they'll be there. I'll put this on Facebook, all the different ones that are available. The other end of the spectrum is one called Hachia is one that is an astringent one that if you let ripen probably is the sweetest, most delicious one of all. So that gives you kind of two ends of the spectrum there. And I'll do a little more of it, and I'll put it on Facebook and do some other things with it. We need to get back to the phones now. Chuck in Eureka, California, first up. Hey, Chuck.
Hi, Howard.
How you doing?
Oh, just fine, thank you. And hi, this is the first time I've ever called and done anything like this. But
well, thanks.
Yeah, I'm just a new member. I'm on your website now, and I'd like to do a garden in my backyard. But I purchased a house in 2005, 2006, and the backyard was a gentleman had a junkyard back there. Pretty much did car repairs and everything. He'd take oil chains and just put it out on the ground. But the large portion of the yard, since I purchased it, well, for 2 years, really not much grew back there.
Uh-huh.
But now I've got, you know, grass and weeds, and I've got a dog now. I've had her 4 years, and a little four, and she's been doing her business back there. But I'm just kind of concerned about what nature has done or maybe hasn't done to work with that soil. I have stuff growing back there now, so do you think I'd be safe putting a garden back there?
Yeah, you have any idea what the previous owners did with the property there?
Yeah, he just had a bunch of cars back there, had it fenced off, and he did car repairs.
Some cars in that spot.
He'd do oil changes and just walk around and put it on the ground, I think.
You can clean all that up. In fact, oil is one of the easiest things to bioremediate, but you do need to do something about it. If you'll go to my website, delighted that you're getting started here. You've got a little bit of work to do, though. If you go to my website, into the library part of dirtdoctor.com, Everything's in alphabetical order there, and you'll find the detox program, you know, in the D's, everything's A, B, C, D, like that. Uh-huh. Going to D, it's detox or soil detox. It's probably in both places. And what you want to put down first is some kind of real fine textured of charcoal or humate, and that will lock up a lot of things. It helps with pathogens, it helps with pesticides, and it helps with petroleum stuff. That's really the easiest thing to clean up. And then the rest of the detox program is steps that you take to stimulate real fast and furious biological activity in the soil. And that cleans all that stuff up really, really well. And in a hurry, the other thing I would add, and you'll see all this, all the details in there, zeolite is a product I would add to your bed preparation as well. And then the rest of it is just the usual stuff. Compost, organic fertilizers, rock minerals, and the sugars like molasses and cornmeal and things like that. Till it all into the soil and you'll be on your way. The only way to know for sure that you've cleaned up everything that they left for you before is send it in and have testing done for it and all that kind of thing. But if you do all of that really, really well, I think you will have cleaned it up to a point where you won't have to worry about it being toxic at all.
Okay, good. Well, I just was concerned if I had hope.
I think it'll work. Get
all right,
going and keep us posted, okay?
All right, great. Now.
Thank you, Chuck. Let's go to Granbury, Texas, and talk to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We've talked before. I'm the cheesemaker over in Granbury.
Yeah.
You know, we have the whey byproduct that we've been experimenting with, putting that on road. You know, when the road crews go out and trim trees and stuff, they give us the shavings, and we're using that. Making some very nice compost, but I've got a little unintended consequence that I wanted to ask you about, and you know how life is. There's always an unintended consequence.
Sure.
But we've got these little, they're not house flies, but they're small. They kind of look like fruit flies, but obviously they're not. That love that decomposing material back there. And when it's warm, they're just, you know, they're all over the place. And I just wondered if, A, what they are, and B, what we can do to kind of, you know, if they'd stay back there on the compost, that'd be great. But they like to come up, they like to go all over the place around our cheese shop.
Well, they could be fruit flies. They could be fungus gnats. They could be other critters. What you could do on your own would be to put out some BTI. It's the same stuff that we use for mosquito control. BTI is Bacillus thuringiensis israelensis, and it's different than the BT that you use for caterpillars. And putting it out, spraying it all over the place might solve your problem, and it'll help with mosquitoes too. The other thing to go, and it might be even a better way to go, is pick up the phone and call Arbico-organics.com. They kind of specialize in fly control.
Okay.
And they have fly parasites, and they can help you with the identification and recommend some really specific kinds of tools for you to use. And you might talk to them about the BTI idea when you're talking to them. But call them Monday. It's Arbico-organics.com. I think it's 1-800-SOS-BUGS is their telephone number. Let me put you on hold, Dave, if you had something else, but that's my best recommendation there. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. If you don't get our third hour, just listen online at dirtdoctor.com, and we'd love for you to become a member of our Organic Club of America. You can find information on that right on that green button on the left-hand side of the homepage. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, be back after this.